Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you on this sunny day. God bless you for being here. We're continuing our study in Mark's Gospel, and we have reached chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 31. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31. We'll just read the passage through. And he, Jesus, began to teach them, his disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Amen. May God bless his word. There are four letters that after this week I never want to hear again in my life. And those letters are GDPR. I've lost count of the number of emails that I've received from organizations I never even knew existed, telling me that they have updated their privacy policy to give me more control over the data that they hold about me that I never even knew that they held about me in the first place. And some of these emails, you know, are quite sneaky because the detail, the important information that you need to know is buried down in the small print. For example, at the bottom of these emails in the small print, you'll read something like this, that if you continue to use our website or our apps, you are agreeing to the terms of our new privacy policy. So in other words, if you do nothing, you're agreeing. And then if you scroll down even further to the bottom of some of these emails, you will find an unsubscribe option, which is written in font so small that you would need the Hubble telescope to be able to read it. And businesses and organizations, you know, over the years have had a tendency to bury the important stuff, the hard facts. The information that if you knew up front would maybe make you think twice about entering that agreement or about buying that product or about taking that deal. And it's all hidden away in their terms and conditions. 20 pages of terms and conditions written in font so small that you would struggle to read it if you had the energy and time to read it. You know, the only people that read these things are probably lawyers who are being paid to read it. And even then, I doubt it. But as we come to our passage of Scripture today, as we come to Mark chapter 8, Jesus, in a sense, lays out his terms and conditions. The detail, you know, the important stuff, the difficult to hear stuff, the hard facts. And he lays out before his disciples the nature of his mission. And then he lays out before them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What it means to be a Christian. And if you like, these in a sense are Jesus' terms and conditions. And he doesn't seek to bury them or hide them away at the end of a document in small print. In verse 32, we read that Jesus speaks plainly. He speaks in no uncertain terms. He lays it out as it is. Now, the passage divides into two sections. In verses 31 to 33, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he speaks to them about the nature of his mission. And then in verses 34 down to the end, he calls the crowd over and together with his disciples and the crowd, he speaks to them about the nature of following Christ. He talks to them about the true cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a Christian. Now, last week's passage, I wasn't here last week, but last week's passage ended on a high point. You know, you had Peter's great confession of Christ in verse 29. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the deliverer. You are the Savior, the one who was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. And then in verse 30, Jesus, it may puzzle us, but in verse 30, he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one else about him after they had reached this high point of confessing that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. Why? Jesus knew that his disciples did not fully understand the nature of his mission. They appreciated, in a sense, who he was. They appreciated, in a bigger sense, about why he had come. He had come to save. He had come to deliver his people. But in summary, they didn't appreciate the cross. They didn't appreciate how Jesus would save his people, how he would deliver them. They didn't appreciate the true nature of the salvation that Jesus came to bring. And they didn't appreciate the cross, and Christ's mission could not be understood apart from the cross, because the cross is central to the mission of Jesus Christ. So in verses 31 to 33, he teaches them the true nature of his mission. And you know, it was not what the disciples were expecting to hear. From the high point of Peter's confession, Jesus brings them crashing down as he begins to tell them that he must suffer many things. That he must be rejected by the religious leaders. And that he must be killed. You see, Jesus says to the disciples, the path that I am on is a path that leads to death. It is a path that leads to the cross, and there is no other way. It is a path of suffering. It is a path of rejection. But it doesn't end in death. It doesn't end at the cross, because Jesus says, after 3 days, I will rise again. I doubt whether the disciples heard that last bit of the message. You know, I think they were stunned about all this talk of suffering and rejection and Jesus saying that he must be killed. And this is the first of 3 occasions in Mark's gospel when Jesus teaches his disciples about his suffering, death, and resurrection in chapter 9, verse 31, and also in chapter 10, verse 34. And in chapter 10, Jesus adds some extra detail about how he will be treated. He says that he would be mocked, that he would be spat upon, that he would be flogged. You see, the cross never took Jesus by surprise. The cross was no accident. The cross wasn't merely a miscarriage of human justice. Jesus' mission did not end in failure at the cross. The cross was by divine appointment. The cross was central to his mission. And it was only through the cross, through his sacrifice upon the cross, through his shed blood on the cross, through his death and resurrection, it is only through that that we can be saved. Now, Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 2. He says, if righteousness were through the law, that if we could be made right with God through our own efforts and through our own works and through keeping the law, Paul says, then Christ died for no purpose. But his disciples didn't get it. You look at Luke chapter 9, verse 32, when Jesus talks to them for a second time about the nature of his mission, that he will be delivered into the hands of men, they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. People still don't get it today. People don't understand the cross. Now back to our passage in verse 32, Peter wasn't having any of it. This was not the kind of Messiah, this was not the kind of mission that he had envisaged. And he took the Lord Jesus aside and he rebuked him. Now the word rebuke that's used here, it's the same word that Jesus used earlier on in Mark's Gospel when he rebuked the demons. When he exercised his authority to cast out demons, it's the same word. That will give you a sense of the tone in which Peter spoke to the Lord Jesus on this occasion. And Peter was actually, he was talking on behalf of the disciples. He was saying what all the disciples were thinking. Verse 33, Jesus turning and seeing his disciples. They were all in on this. And Jesus rebuked Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was actually acting here as Satan's mouthpiece. He was trying to talk Jesus out of going to the cross. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to die. Let's go straight to glory. Jesus said, you're thinking like Satan. You're talking like an unbeliever, Peter. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. People today have the same problem as Peter and the disciples. They have their own preconceived ideas about who Jesus is and about the kind of Savior he is. And they don't want to associate with a suffering Savior. They want the glory, but not the suffering. And they want to come to God on their own terms. They're happier trying to earn salvation through good works or through philanthropy or through coming to church. But not on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So in verse 34, Jesus calls the crowd over and he begins to tell them about the true cost of following him. He issues an invitation. It's an invitation that goes out to anyone. He says, if anyone would come after me, anyone. It's an invitation that goes out to you today. Are you prepared to follow Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to walk the path in life where he leads you? Probably part of the reason why the disciples were in such shock when Jesus talked to them about suffering and rejection and death was because they knew that in following him, they would have to walk the same path he walked. And Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him, and he emphasizes three things. He says, first of all, let him deny himself. What does this mean? Let him deny himself. It's not the same thing as self-denial. You know, where for a good cause or for a limited period of time, you know, you may occasionally give up certain things. It's not that. This is much deeper. This is an end of self. This is a complete and total surrender of self to Jesus Christ. That when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are saying, I no longer live for me. I live for him. Here are the reins to my life. Take control. My identity is in Jesus Christ. You know, Peter would later go on to deny Jesus the night before the cross. It's the same word that's used here. And when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, you know what he said? He said, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. That's exactly the meaning here. That when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ, they deny self. They no longer know the person they were. They are transformed by Jesus Christ. They are set free. They become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Secondly, Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross. Luke says, let him take up his cross daily. You know, Jesus would literally carry his own cross to the place of death. The Bible says, despising the shame, on his way to a criminal's death. We sang about it. On his way to a Gentile's death. He endured the rejection. He endured the reproach of men. He was mocked. He was spat upon. They treated him as a nobody. They treated him as though he was nothing. The very Son of God. And to follow Christ means to identify with him in his suffering. Not his atoning suffering for sin, but in what the Bible calls his sufferings of reproach. His rejection, the hatred that he endured, the disdain. Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 29, for it has been granted to you, he's writing to Christians, it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Jesus is saying the path that I am on leads to death. Now, for some of his followers, that may lead to physical death. Those who are prepared in standing for Christ to lay down their lives. There will be people today all over the world who will die serving Jesus Christ. But this is really about the death of self Jesus is talking about here. That those who follow Jesus Christ must come to a complete end of themselves, no matter how costly that death. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Let him follow me. You know, let him lead you in life. Obey him. Submit to the leadership of Jesus Christ. What an invitation. Jesus doesn't exactly sell it, does he? That these are his terms and conditions. This is what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, if ever there were verses to blow the prosperity gospel out of the water, here they are. And are you prepared to count the cost of following Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to deny self? Are you prepared to take up your cross and suffer for Christ? Are you prepared to follow him? And I guess that's why for many, the cost of being a Christian is too high. They're not prepared to deny self. They're not prepared to suffer for Christ. Not prepared to live for him. They want to live for themselves. They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Jesus says, if that's where you are in your thinking, then you need to read the next three verses. You know, you need to get things into perspective. If this life to you is the be-all and end-all, if this life is all that you are living for, then you're missing the big picture. You need to get things into perspective. Jesus says in verse 35, for whoever would save his life, that is to live for self, to live for this life only, whoever would save his life will lose it. You know, I was listening to... I shouldn't admit to this, but I was listening to Billy Joel a few weeks ago. And that song, you know, My Life, could be the anthem of so many people. I don't need you to worry for me, because I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life and leave me alone. My life. Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you know, to lose yourself in Christ and in his service is to find the true meaning and purpose of life. Jim Elliot, a young American missionary who went out with four other missionaries from Wheaton College in America in 1956 to take the gospel of Christ to tribes people in Ecuador. Those five young men, they gave their lives taking the gospel, killed by the very people that they had taken the gospel to. And they found Jim Elliot's diaries afterwards, and written in his diary, these famous words that many of you will know. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, who gives his life to Christ, to gain what he cannot lose, eternal life. And that's it. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in these verses. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? You know, my gran had this text framed in her living room. And I can remember as a boy just, you know, staring at it when I was round visiting her. You know, if you were to gain everything that this world had to offer, and you could live your life however you pleased every day and enjoy all that it has to offer, but in your life you missed Jesus Christ and you missed God's salvation. At the end of it all, to lose your soul, you would be the poorer off. To stand before God in all your sin with nothing. With nothing, with no hope, with no plea, to be lost forever in hell. For what can a man give in return for his own soul, the answer is nothing. That is why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. That is why the cross was completely central to his mission. And it is only through faith in Jesus Christ, it is only by the power of his cleansing blood, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that you can be saved. And having heard the terms and conditions of Jesus, of what it means to follow him, are you prepared to do it? Are you prepared to follow him, to deny self, to take up your cross and follow him, to lose yourself in Christ and in his service, and in doing so, find life? May God bless his word. We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture. We thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus. These are difficult words, challenging words. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every heart, that you would speak your word into our lives. Father, we just ask for your blessing. We pray that you would draw souls to Jesus Christ today. For we ask these things in his name and for his glory. Amen.